Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Remind ourselves that we are not alone. No matter how life is showing up, no matter how we see life, no matter what is going on, that we need each other. Because individually, sometimes, based on life's experiences that we go through, we forget that we're all angels. And when we buy into that thought of separation and we don't join with others in love, in compassion and understanding, we may be led to doing things that is not for the highest good of all. But when we remember that we are angels, we need each other to fly so we can be there, shoulder to cry on, you know, to just say to each other, it's okay. It's okay. No need to apologize. We need each other to fly, and we're flying together. That was Karen Drucker. We are angels. And you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Perfect day for this show. So let me just welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and tuning in to Life Conversations Radio to join force with the other listeners, so we could all fly together. And when we join together, we actually look around and say, oh my God, look what we did. We're making a difference. Wow, together we're stronger. Wow, all along I thought I was just going to look after my own, me and mine. You got to take care of yours. But now, oh my God, look at us joining together. We can fly. Oh yeah, that's when we make a difference. You are indeed listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. And yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. We kind of wrap up, release all the energy that wants to be seen. We look at it, we stretch it, we be with it, we let it be. So welcome home. Welcome to yourself. We got some announcements and we got some things I want to read here, but I'm going to bring on Lisa in a minute. I just want to remind you that you can find out more about Karen Drucker by going to karendrucker.com, K-A-R-E-N-D for Delta, D-R-U-C-K-E-R.com. That's where you can find her. Let me bring on Lisa and check in with her, and then we'll do some announcements and go where we have been chosen to go. Hello, my dear friend, my dear sister, myself, Lisa Iverson. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad to be here and appreciative in advance. I feel grateful in advance of the conversation that we're going to be having today, and looking forward to us being in a good exchange of giving and receiving while we talk about all that we talk about today. So thanks again for the conversation we're going to be having today.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being present. So a couple of things. Lisa, we'll come back to you. We'll do a quick announcement, and then we'll continue the show. And in the consciousness of healing, knowing, if you don't know, you will know by now. If you listen to the archive, you probably figured it out. And if you don't know, it's fine. Today, May 28th. Today's May 28th, and Maya Angelou made her transition, and so we are grieving. A lot of people are saddened, expressing their thoughts, their pain, and my dear sister friend Celeste is moving through it too. We're all moving through it, you know. Death, I always say, has a way of waking us up. And Celeste, how are you feeling?
I am hearing right now that I love artists, and I love writers, and I love singers, poets, whether published or not published, because they always leave a gift behind. And that's where I'm tapping into with the tears. Imagine if she didn't know why the caged bird sings. She knows. And she shared it with us. And I'm so grateful. I'm just grateful that she said yes to the mission and came down here as a magician. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God bless her. That's my mom and my other mom. It hurts, but I smile too. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine smiling through the tears?
Yeah, I've seen those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
All right.
So actually, you know what? What I want you to do, before you do the announcement, let's do this prayerful thought for today, which was expressed through speaking of writers. Ooh, did I just call myself a writer? Well, this prayerful thought that expressed through me, and I really believe it's perfect for today. So let's just join together as you share that prayerful thought and then the announcement, and then we'll continue with the show.
I'll get right to it. This prayerful thought from Hillside is written by our very own life coach today, and it's a new moon in Gemini, so it's perfect timing. I sow seeds of love, abundance, and healing. We are all the cause and effect of our lives. Every day, we have the opportunity to begin again. We get to be made new by the renewing of our minds. In this moment, we can plant seeds of love, abundance, and healing in our consciousness through our actions. Today, stretch yourself and offer acts of kindness to someone. If there is something that you have always wanted but have been talking yourself out of, take an action. Even if you don't know how to get to it, listen to the spirit within, and you will be led in the right direction. I surrender to God's will for my life. I know that God's will for my life is the highest and the best. I trust the process of life. Love, abundance, and healing are my birthright. I let go of any thoughts or ideas that suggest the contrary. I will meet everyone today with love and talk with them from a place of love. If we just make eye contact, I express love through my eyes and my smile. Everything I do today is from the foundation of love, abundance, and healing. I rest in the grace of God. Thank you. Power in me, through me, as me, around me, through the Christ within. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, Celeste, for that. Join forces with everyone in the whole world, because she is known globally on the planet. All right. Let's do this announcement and continue the conversation.
Great. Hello, family. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today. It's Celeste here, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with LifeConversationsRadio.com and some other places our host may be. You can find Life Coach Today and Lisa Iverson on the last Wednesday of every month from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss them live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and Lisa can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Life Coach Today will be unveiling a new show, Soul Food for Your Consciousness, next Tuesday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. Eastern on 12radio.com. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show airs on Mondays at 12 p.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. Eastern. We have a new show airing on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's the Inner Light Radio Show with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. Be sure to join Ambassa Safara for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and I'm on at 8 p.m. every Sunday on a Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. The Ask Life Coach Day radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. And for Life Conversations radio shows, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Finally, we're not doing a celestial moment today. But let me take this time to tell you, we have a new moon in Gemini, and 4 is the energy of the day. 4 is ruled by Uranus. 4 also expresses as the deer in medicine cards and the emperor in tarot cards. The deer offers gentleness, and the emperor offers authority. Bring them together and tap into compassionate power as you plant your seeds of desire. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Adé.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. And I'm going to go drink some water and just stay grounded. All is well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and your truly Life Coach Adé. Lisa. So, Lisa, I don't know what you think, Phil. I'm feeling to read the description for today's show just to kind of bring everybody in to give an idea, you know, just a energy of oneness. So we are sort of on the same page, if you will, or unless you're feeling to go somewhere else, you can do that too.
So I think that that's a great idea. No, I thank you for doing that.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so the description goes a little something like this. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Adé for Ancestral Blueprints, Race, the Civil War, and Memorial Day. The Civil War is over, but the soul of America is still in process of reconciliation, where division lingers. Historian David Blight reminds us that Decoration Day, now called Memorial Day, was founded by African Americans in a ritual of remembrance and consecration. There's a website for that if you want to find out more about it. It's David Blight, BLIGHT.com, davidblight.com/memorial. And the rest of the description goes on. Join us in honoring the fullness of our ancestors and America's history in this conversation. And as I think about that now, I think of Maya Angelou, now an ancestor. So that's the description, Lisa. I'm just going to pass it over to you to go wherever you want to go.
Yeah, thank you. It's a big topic. It's well good gone. To just be with, yeah, it's good to be with the recognition of what a big topic it is and
yes,
what big time we're living in, and the freshness of the news about Maya Angelou, and you know, all the other different kinds of news that we're that you know that we encounter, particularly through the internet. We talked a little bit this morning about how there's a lot to digest. So there's a lot in our topic for today. You know, there's some things that in the soul of our country are still in the process of being digested.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of undigested truths, and there's a process of reconciliation happening in ways that we can't see with our mind or with our eyes. And so I'm just aware of that, the past truths that are in process of being digested, and then the present tense information that's also being digested. So just as we, you know, go forward, it's just good to start there, you know, because the topic, Civil War, Memorial Day, race, it's like it's big. And
So
in response to that, that was a thing that came to me that I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to just add to that, really, it's I want to invite, encourage all the listeners, if you're listening now, whatever you're listening is now, just take this moment to just be still, feel your body, take deep breath, because, you know, as Lisa was saying, this is heavy topic. Death is something that is just so, like, when we hear it, I see it as a wake-up call, But we can't run from it. We can't run from death. We can't run from life. We can't run from the energy that is us. And in your book, Lisa, I just opened up to a page while you were talking, and this is what jumped at me. There's a quote there that says, "What we don't face eventually faces us."
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, what we don't face eventually faces us. So in the context of civil war, Memorial Day, the race, all the things that's going on, even in family, you know, there's so much that's going on that sometimes it just feels so much to handle. And I think, you know, I don't think we can do this too much. I think it's important to lay the foundation of ancestral blueprints, what we mean, why it's important when we talk about unacknowledged truth, blind love. So go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So ancestral blueprints is the phrase that came to me many years ago to describe the map that's in us, in our soul, that's in our body. It's the map of the whole generational, our whole, many generations of our families that we come from, family that flows through us, that lives in us, and that we live in. And the phrase was inspired by the work that I am a part of called Systemic Family Constellations. That's a tool that was developed in Germany about 30 years ago. And that tool is one that's used in groups and in one-on-one settings to help us see how much whatever we're dealing with in our lives today can be often influenced by unacknowledged truth from our families, from our ancestors' lives, particularly truths that have to do with where does everybody belong, the fact that everybody does belong in the family. There's often experiences of exclusion in family life where there's somebody, sometimes many people, who kind of stand outside the group for whatever reason. They maybe there was a loss, there was a trauma. They did something that created guilt or shame. It wasn't just okay for them to be visible. Many reasons that these exclusion experiences happen. So the constellation approach works with helping us to remember that each of us and everybody in our families and our ancestries belongs. It helps to experience how there's a balance of relationship between one generation and the next, so between parents and children, that there's a balance in partnership, so in marriage or in partnership. The approach helps us to experience and see how there's an order according to time when people come into the, you know, so grandparents come into the family before parents do, before children do. So it's a really very simple but profound thing to remember. And so, and with sibling sets, you know, there's a first, a second, a third sibling. Sometimes that gets confused, you know, if there's a baby loss or if there's a child who dies, the grief sometimes is so big that it creates confusion about the siblings who belong where. There's often circumstances in family life where there's multiple families within a family. So, you know, two people get together and they have a child, and then the mom gets together with another man and marries or doesn't marry, has more children, same with the man. And so there can be confusion about, in the sibling set, who belongs where, you know. And so the approach really helps with the truth of family life, bringing historic order around belonging and influence and recognizing when there's been injustice of some kind, that injustice that has gone unrecognized asks to be seen, and whoever's paid the price from whatever the experience of the injustice has been, these circumstances ask to be reconciled. And so we have a lot of unrecognized injustice in the soul of the United States. And the same would be true for countries on, you know, across the globe. But it's good to know, you know, for our conversation, this is the country that we live in. For me, this is my home country, so it's the group conscience of the American soul is the one I'm most steeped in. Steeped in, you know. So all those things led me to write this book that you just referred to and are kind of the backdrop for our conversation today about how, you know, echoes from the Civil War, lingering traumas around race still live with us. And so that's a little bit of the background.
Right. It's, you know, I just thinking what's coming up for me is, I remember when I was in school, in high school, I just hated history. Because I thought history was boring. I thought it was boring. I was not interested in things that happened before I was here. And in Nigeria, we were talked about what the British did and how they conquered. We used to sing a song, Lord Baden Powell, or whatever his name is. So that all that story was indoctrinated in us. But I just thought history was boring. I just had no interest in it. Now, as an adult, I have a deeper appreciation for history because I really do get it is important to, if you will, look back in order to make sense of where I am right now. And when you talk about families maybe married and they have children together and then they separate and have other children, it's like I kept hearing the soul remembers.
Absolutely.
The soul remembers. Yes, and it's like this invisible energy, invisible grid that joins everything together. So, and it shows up in many ways. And for me, I would say, I really do feel, based on what I know, what I've heard, what I feel in my bone, you know, it's the challenges that we're dealing with as human beings is really the sound of the soul. And the sound is speaking to us. The soul is speaking to us. And for me, I feel like conversation like this slows us down a little bit to listen to just what we need so we can recognize and remember that whatever we're moving through, whatever is going on in our world, belongs in this conversation. You know, we talk about the universe. You know, there's one song, and we're all part of it with the universal choir. And the soul remembers, but this is not something that we are taught in school, at home, particularly in the Western world. We're not taught that the soul remembers. It's usually we're told we're, you know, too sensitive, low self-esteem, don't love yourself, get over it. But creating space for this kind of conversation, for me, I mean, it just makes me want to keep going on and doing my work. Not necessarily to go out there and tell people listen to your soul, but it just inspires me to surrender to what I came here to do because I really believe that's the I'm just going to say that's the answer to our soul salvation. Recognizing there are things in our individual life, individual world that we're not happy about, that's saddening, that caused grief, and there are things in our individual history that is, you know, that makes us passionate, that we're grateful for, and all of it belongs, but we're often taught to separate everything, like if it's bad, keep it over there, if it's good, celebrate it, and in that separation, we end up being separated from ourselves because we judge one thing as good and one thing as bad.
Yeah, it's true, everything you're saying, and the soul remembering. I want to acknowledge Bert Hellinger, who developed the systemic family constellation approach. His phrase, family soul, the recognition that families have a soul, and that in that place there is this this map, this order that is waiting to be remembered, and that has everything to do with truth. It has everything to do with the acknowledgement of truth. That, you know, in the States particularly, we really focus so much on the individual, really to the extreme, that we don't see we're in the process of remembering this this old indigenous ancient wisdom that really remembers that there's this connection from one generation to the next, that really remembers that again, everybody belongs, that the truths that we don't acknowledge are the ones that have the most influence. You know, the ones we acknowledge, we have a sense, we have a consciousness about these. The truths that go unacknowledged, those are often the ones that have the deepest influence in our lives in ways, again, that our minds can't begin to understand. And so we're just not as separate from our past and from our present as from one another as we may want to think that we are. We're not as not as original as we want to think that we are either, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
So we can be these kind of resonances. And it's the judgment. Usually I'm grateful that you're referencing judgment, because it's a part of our humanity and our impulse to judge. But what happens, one of the effects is it does create separation. The judgment creates separation and division. And that's the example of the kind of exclusion I was talking about earlier. So judgment creates exclusion of one kind or another.
Yes.
And
it doesn't. It doesn't matter, right? How much you justify the fact that why you're judgmental, it still creates separation.
And I'm wondering, you know, I've really appreciated the essay that you mentioned in the description. David Light is a historian. He wrote this great essay about, you know, looking at our recent Memorial Day holiday a few days ago, writing about some historical events that are often unseen, typically unacknowledged. I just wanted to have one of us read a little bit of this, because I think it's the best way to capture the facts of he just speaks clearly and beautifully about this history, and I thought better to just read and reference him. I wondered if Celeste, you would want to be willing to read a little bit, since you brought this to our attention.
Yes, she's ready. Go ahead, Celeste. Okay, goodness. All right, Celeste, you there?
I'm right here, yes.
Okay.
Would you want to just read this for us, that we can all receive
the article?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you want the whole thing, Lisa? You want the whole thing, or you just want
the
part of it?
There's nothing I'd leave out. It's a short essay.
It's
a short essay, yeah.
I gotcha, because I don't even know how to summarize this if I was going to try. So let's put it in the oral tradition. Thank you, David Blight from Yale University. The first Decoration Day. Americans understand that Memorial Day, or Decoration Day, as my parents called it, has something to do with honoring the nation's war dead. It is also a day devoted to picnics, road races, commencements, and doubleheaders.
But where did it begin? Who created it? And why? As a nation, we are at war now, but for most Americans, the scale of death and suffering in this seemingly endless wartime belongs to other people far away or to people in other neighborhoods. Collectively, we are not even allowed to see our war dead today. That was not the case in 1865. At the end of the Civil War, the dead were everywhere, some in half-buried coffins and some visible only as unidentified bones strewn on the killing fields of Virginia or Georgia. Americans north and south faced an enormous spiritual and logistical challenge of memorialization. The dead were visible by their massive absence. Approximately 620,000 soldiers died in the war. American deaths in all other wars combined through the Korean conflict totaled 606,000. If the same number of Americans per capita had died in Vietnam as died in the Civil War, 4 million names would be on the Vietnam Memorial. The most immediate legacy of the Civil War was its slaughter and how we remember it. War kills people and destroys human creation, but as though mocking war's devastation, flowers inevitably bloom through its ruins. After a long siege, a prolonged bombardment for months from all around the harbor and numerous fires, the beautiful port city of Charleston, South Carolina, where the war had begun in April 1861, lay in ruin by the spring of 1865. The city was largely abandoned by white residents by late February. Among the first troops to enter and march up Meeting Street singing liberation songs was the 21st U.S. Colored Infantry. The commander accepted the formal surrender of the city. Thousands of black Charlestonians, most former slaves, remained in the city and conducted a series of commemorations to declare their sense of the meaning of the war. The largest of these events, and unknown until some extraordinary luck in my recent research, took place on May 1, 1865. During the final year of the war, the Confederates had converted the Planters Horse Track, the Washington Race Course, and Jockey Club into an outdoor prison. Union soldiers were kept in horrible conditions in the interior of the track. At least 257 died of exposure and disease and were hastily buried in mass grave behind the grandstone. Some 28 black workmen went to the site, reburied the Union dead properly, and built a high fence around the cemetery. They whitewashed the fence and built an archway over an entrance on which they inscribed the words, "Martyrs of the Racecourse." Then, black Charlestonians, in cooperation with white missionaries and teachers, staged an unforgettable parade of 10,000 people on a slaveholder's racecourse. The symbolic power of the Lowcountry planter aristocracy's horse track, where they had displayed their wealth, leisure, and influence, was not lost on the freed people. A New York Tribune correspondent witnessed the event, describing a procession of friends and mourners in South Carolina and the United States never saw before. At 9 a.m. on May 1st, the procession stepped off, led by 3,000 black school children, carrying armloads of roses and singing "John Brown's Body." The children were followed by several hundred black women with baskets of flowers, wreaths, and crosses. Then came black men marching in cadence, followed by contingents of Union infantry and other black and white citizens. As many as possible gathered in the cemetery enclosure. A children's choir sang, "We rally around the flag, the star-spangled banner, and several spirituals," before several black ministers read from scripture. No record survives of which biblical passages rung out in the warm spring air, but the spirit of Leviticus 25 was surely present at those burial rites. "For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you.
in this year of Jubilee he shall return every man unto his possession. Following the solemn dedication, the crowd dispersed into the infield and did what many of us do on Memorial Day. They enjoyed picnics, listened to speeches, and watched soldiers drill among the full brigade of Union infantry participating with the famous 54th Massachusetts and the 34th and 104th U.S. Colored Troops, who performed a special double-column march around the gravesite. The war was over, and Decoration Day had been founded by African Americans in a ritual of remembrance and consecration. The war, they had boldly announced, had been all about the triumph of their emancipation over a slaveholder's republic, and not about state rights, defense of home, nor merely soldiers' valor and sacrifice. According to the reminiscence written long after the fact, several slight disturbances occurred during the ceremonies on this first Decoration Day, as well as much harsh talk about the event locally afterward. But a measure of white Charlestonians suppressed from memory this founding in favor of their own creation of the practice later came 51 years afterward, when the president of the Ladies Memorial Association of Charleston received an inquiry about the May 1st, 1865 parade. The United Daughters of Confederacy official from New Orleans wanted to know if it was true that blacks had engaged in such a burial rite. Miss S.C. Beckwith responded tersely, "I regret that I was unable to gather any official information in answer to this." In the struggle over memory and meaning in any society, some stories just get lost, while others attain mainstream dominance. Officially, it as a national holiday, Memorial Day emerged in 1868 when General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, the Union Veterans Organization, called on all former Northern soldiers and their communities to conduct ceremonies and decorate graves of their dead comrades. On May 30, 1868, when flowers were plentiful, funeral ceremonies were attended by thousands of people in 183 cemeteries in 27 states. The following year, some 336 cities and towns in 31 states, including the South, arranged parades and orations. The observance grew manyfold with time, and the South Confederate Memorial Day took shape on three different dates. On April 26th, in many deep South states, the anniversary of General Joseph Johnston's final surrender to General William T. Sherman on May 10th in South and North Carolina, the birthday of Stonewall Jackson, and on June 3rd in Virginia, the birthday of Jefferson Davis. Over time, several American towns, north and south, claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, but all of them commemorate cemetery decoration events from 1866. Pride of place as the first large-scale ritual of Decoration Day, therefore, rose to African Americans in Charleston by their labor, their words, their songs, and their solemn parade of flowers and marching feet on their former owner's race course. They created for themselves and for us the Independence Day of the Second American Revolution. That feels like a good place to stop.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Something to dive in for. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So much untold story denied, and so Lisa, go ahead, because it's kind of, I was just, as Les was reading, I'm thinking this is really what we've been talking about, and of course I was thinking, wow, I wonder how that untold story, that truth, it's, how is it tried to be seen within us right now? But go ahead, share your thoughts.
Well, I just want to acknowledge the all the different ways that there are of receiving information.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between reading something and and as you said, Celeste, oral tradition, you know, to be able to hear it. it yeah. lands different. Just hearing the story read, it gives us a chance to, I mean, me too, even though I had read this, but hearing it read to me, gives me a chance to feel the truth in this more embodied way. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the difficult things with how history is often taught in the schools. Like you said, Ade, you know, remembering feeling bored by history, you know, growing up. I think that's a pretty common experience for kids. You know? And so what it makes me just think about the task for us to remember how to learn the histories that have been not made visible, all the different ways that there are for us to receive these images, and that this is one of the ways more we can absorb what we can absorb through reading, but it's through experiential, through embodied experience that we're able to more fully really take it in and digest it.
So true. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and your truly life coach, Ade. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month where Lisa joins us to facilitate the remembrance of what the soul is trying to tell us. And today's theme, today's topic, we got some interesting sound coming from your phone. It sounds like it's your phone, Lisa. I don't know. Maybe it's the soul wants to be heard and seen. but today's topic is Ancestral Blueprints, Race, the Civil War, and Memorial Day. And we're also talking about Maya Angelou and just the energy of the past. And the most important thing for me so far and what we've talked about is the soul remembers. The soul remembers. And so as listeners, as you listen to this, even if you hear, maybe you're having some of the experience I used to have, and I still have it every now and then, but when I hear history from a human perspective, what happened to people, it comes alive. But when I'm just reading from a book, I'm like, ugh, yeah, whatever. But just recognize, or maybe even ask yourself, what wants to be revealed in your world? What wants to be revealed in your soul, in your family soul? And, you know, and how is what wants to be revealed influencing who you are today? You know, it's deep work, but it can be done with spiritual practice, deep breath. Don't take it all at once, because sometimes I think that's what happens with some of the activists. They get so passionate about the work and really say, remember, 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 remember. Nobody else is talking about it, but they sometimes neglect to take care of themselves. So they end up burning out. So it's important to take care of yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and doing your spiritual practice. And we're all part of this. History may be boring to you or not, but even though it's boring, it's still part of who I am today because I heard this story. And we're taking your calls. We've got some questions as well. And if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're going to just have some thoughts here. Actually, I think, Lisa, you think it's a good time to take a break? That's what I'm feeling.
Sure, that'd be fine. That'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah, let's take a break, and I'm going to bring Celeste back in to join the conversation. And then after the break, we got a caller, and then we have questions. Let me bring on Celeste just to give you some quick announcements on the news that's happening with me, with Life Conversations Radio, just things that you need to know. We're here to be of service And so it's important to let you know what we are serving up. And you get to choose if that's what you want, if that's what you want for your spiritual menu. Celeste.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the big thing coming up is that you are flying solo on Monday, and you're going to be tapping in, introducing everybody Life Coach Today is, and talking to him, doing the announcements. Hey, family. Big hugs to Glenda and notably Nisi and everybody I see in the chat room and on the phone lines. Big love to you. You got two writer sisters, so we're all hugging each other. We needed to be home and grounded today, Life Coach Today. So I just wanted to say thank you. And Yvette, I see you too. Yes.
And Tia too. We have other people there.
Oh,
those we can't see. Yeah, love and happiness. We need that.
I
we need that right now.
Don't we though? All right, let's see ya. And Night Wolf, we'll see you there. And so the big news is we are going to have a new theme in June, and it is spiritually grounded. In spite of shaky ground, it just feels so right now. Spiritually grounded in spite of shaky ground. Life Coach Day is going to maneuver us all month long with this theme. And possibly we'll be topping it off by talking about that on Monday. And, of course, his new show on 12radio.com. Soul Food for Your Consciousness, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. We're going to keep you posted. And I think that's the really big stuff right now. And, of course, don't miss Ambassa Safara for the Palais Experience on Thursday nights at 7. And you can join me, 8 p.m. Sunday nights, for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. And there you have it. Be the change you want to see.
That's right.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you about work and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples' event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. or go to PeaceCorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, it's about being the change you want to see. You are listening to Ask, No You're Not, Ancestral Blueprints. I knew that. With Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Today's topic, today's theme is race, the Civil War, and Memorial Day. We're really facilitating the revelation of what wants to be seen. And we have some questions that were inspired by the show and the show we did last week. Lisa, if you're okay with that, we can. Do you want to do questions, or is there something else you want to add or share?
That sounds great. No, let's go for it.
Let me bring them. So let's actually scurry through. Let me get the questions. Oh, where is it? Okay, where is it? You got questions?
I sure do. Hi. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is first from Samantha. How can you feel, deal, and heal the past if you weren't there? Why do I really need to focus on these things, Samantha?
So, Celeste, I heard the question, how do you heal the past if you weren't there? And what was the second part that you said?
Why do I really need to focus on these things?
Oh, why do I need to focus on these things?
Mm-hmm.
This is a common sentiment. So I just want to acknowledge what a common feeling this is. And it's good to say, too, from my perspective, it's not my place at all to tell anybody where to focus. So it's good for each person to really claim their own authority about where the best places are for them to place their attention. And, I can speak to, at the same time, I can speak to what I've seen from my work with people, how incredibly common it is for a person to be having whatever experience they're having in their life, whatever life issue they're having with their relationships, with their family, with their finances, with their love relationships, and how common it is that the challenges that are there are in resonance with unacknowledged history.
Mm.
So I'm just speaking to what I have been blessed and privileged to see working with people and in my own life. The other thing to consider is that maybe it's not about us healing the past. It's about letting the past heal us. It's a really different frame of reference. We tend to think that our own place in the web of our human family, and then where our human family sits, in the larger web of creation, in the larger web of nature, we tend to think that we can heal the past. And actually, the more I live, the more I'm in the work that I do, I think it's the opposite for me. It's really about allowing whatever history hasn't been acknowledged, and the ones that have been acknowledged but are perhaps out of balance with the ones that have been in the shadows, letting those heal us in the present. So
wow.
I so appreciate the question, and this perspective that I just said, for me,
yes.
it breeds a sense of place, belonging, and humility. And we need each other deeply to remember how to find our own places in this way with humility. So I'm really grateful for the question.
You know what I love about what you said about letting the past heal us? What I love about it is, you know, as we've been saying in the Western world, you know, sometimes even healing is about an intellectual thing. We got to do this and then do that, and we, you know, we'll legislate this law so that it doesn't happen anymore. But it's from the neck up. But for me, when you talk about maybe it's about letting the past heal us, that, for me, that's straight up heart down, because you can't intellectually, it's like, how do you think about that? For me, it's like, wow, let the past heal me. Well, what do I do? Well, I don't know, because I'm not in the past. But then again, you know, the head gets involved, like, you're an extension of the past. So, well, if I'm an extension of the past, so I just let the past take care of itself, because there's less of what do I need to do. It's more about being fully, deeply present to life. And I so love that. There's a sort of a surrender that happens in me when I heard you say that. Just letting the past heal us.
Yeah, and I acknowledge in saying it how countercultural that is. You know, it's really counter to Western thinking. It's really counter to American culture, for sure, where we really like to be in control, and we like to think that we have power over everything. You know, that's our American energy field has quite a lot of images, and there's a lot of history around what we have control or power over. And so, you know, recognizing that a person can be spending a lot of energy either trying to change history that's already happened, or trying to run away from history that's happened. You know, it's all about relationship. What's our relationship with who and what comes before us?
Yes.
We began the show, you were speaking about flying. Well, there's no flying without roots, you know.
No, that's right.
You know, no roots, yes. No wing. And so this is about what our relationship is with our roots. And so it's one of the beauty, you know, when I read this piece of history written by David Blight, you know, I'm grateful to him for that research. When I hear it, as Celeste read it, I feel healed by it. I feel there's some part of me just as a person and as an American. It's like the feeling in my body is a sense of a place where there was a shadow, a place where there was something missing gets filled in. The light gets turned on. You know, this is over 150 years ago. There's nothing for me to do about this. This is already done. It's happened. You know,
okay.
What's great, it's really such a great comment because it is so true. Yeah. The things that have happened in our families and in our country's history, what's happened has happened. And so But it really does take a lot of different things to be able to sit in relationship with it and be in acceptance with it.
Right.
And an acknowledgement of what is. Yeah.
You know, because I was reading the article last night, and I remember reading him saying, gosh, this is just too much. Because at that moment, I was thinking about, you know, just really, I was looking at it from more the African American perspective, the history that wasn't, that, you know, just we have no record of it, to, you know, these stories are not always told, and it just felt dark and heavy. And when Celeste was reading it, I did feel like, yes, it's like the truth is out. It did feel like the truth is out. Like, oh, somebody's telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get it. And I want to do something before we go. We've got some another question. I want to kind of bring that a little bit more personal because I want to honor the fact that as we surrender to the soul conversation and as a culture who strengthened it, we are very adept at using our intellect. Sometimes it's hard to go there. We start to think about how to surrender, think about how to open our heart. So in our individual lives, when you how do you think that looks like? Or, yeah, what does that look like in personal when we're dealing with issues like grief, shame, guilt, belonging, always struggling with money, not have been in a harmonious relationship, or not knowing one's parents. If we look at it from that perspective, how would you tie the two together and allow in the past to heal the current opportunity to grow? I'll use it that way.
Well, it's about making visible what hasn't been made visible. And so in our individual family lives, so if there are people in our families or circumstances in the families that we come from where, you know, the person or the people have, again, there's something about them that's not been made visible, it's not okay to acknowledge them. Often this is really, what I would call an up close in the soul kind of experience where it's really common for a daughter or a son to not feel completely free in their soul to acknowledge their father or to fully acknowledge their mother. You know, it's pretty common where there's a circumstance of some kind between the parents where there's conflict or circumstance of some kind that blocks the child, the daughter, the son, from being able to fully, freely acknowledge and receive each parent. And so it's often like a really simple, profound thing. That's the place to start, really.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
You know, what a person's experience is as a daughter or a son with their parents. Do they feel free to fully acknowledge and receive each parent as their mom, as their dad, and the life that was passed on to them from those two people? And, you know, we would be here all day naming all the different circumstances that often interfere with that flow. I think just by saying what I'm saying, people can get a sense of how often there can be some block or confusion in this way. So
yes.
That's the place to start. And the way to consider you know, the really common movements in the work that I do with the constellation approach, the common healing movements, solution-filled images for a person as a daughter, as a son, in relationship with their parents has to do with withdrawing from the parents' relationship with each other.
Mm.
So, you know, often daughters and sons are caught in some way in the dynamic that's there between them. That's just part of our wiring, seems to be that daughters and son children want to kind of get in there in the parents' relationship, where they're inclined to align with one parent or the other. And so withdrawing from the, and it's really in this soul perspective, from the parents' relationship with each other is a really good first step.
Yeah, I get it. I lived that experience. Lived that experience. And now I'm getting to know my father the whole new way once my mother made her transition. Not even as, oh, what my mom said was right or wrong or anything. It's just there was a part of me that was like, hey, I'm different from my mother. But I'm getting to see life completely different. Let's take a call. We've got a call. Night Wolf. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good, my brother and my sister. How are you today? I would like to just comment on a question that someone made about, you know, why should I even think about the past? I wasn't there. I can't do anything about it. Well, the way that a lot of our Native people, we believe, is that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. We stand on their shoulders. And everything that they had to do out of necessity and just as a matter of survival, those steps are the steps that brought us to where we are today.
Yes.
We should honor them. We should honor them because many of them, I would be able to say most of them didn't have a choice in this time in the history of America. And it's very unfortunate how they have excluded a lot of the history that is so essential to the truth about what really happened here in America. And we need to think about, you know, all of the sacrifices that our forebears made just for us to be here today. And
right.
I look at things like the voting rights of blacks. I look at the 1968 Freedom of Religion Act for Native American people, because before that, we were not allowed to worship the Creator the way we had worshiped the Creator for centuries before the European invasion. And we've come a long way, and we still have a very long way to go, because we need to learn how to look at each other instead of looking through each other, and talk to each other instead of talking at each other. We have so many commonalities based on the history of this republic that are being ignored and overlooked by black people, Native people, and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And until
yes.
we come to an understanding of who we are based on where we came from, then there will never be a cohesive relationship between any of the peoples here. So many of our people, when I say our people, I'm talking about the human family. We're so stuck on it's about me, but it is not about you. It's not about no one individual. It's about all of us.
Yeah.
And we need to take a very serious and in-depth look at what it is that we're trying to move forward to. But we have to have a foundation to move from. And as long as the foundation is corroded, then there's nothing to stand upon. We are trying to do something on the 19th of July that I would like to tell you about. Just take a couple of minutes.
Okay.
We're bringing about the very first gathering of the National Congress of Black American Indians and Relations.
Mm.
And this is a step forward for all of us, because 85% of all black people that are generationally born in America also carry the blood of the Native American. And there are so many of my brothers and sisters, those that are canned or coined or labeled as the Native American Indian, that carry black blood. I've gone to the tribes out west beyond the Mississippi, many of the tribes, I know them. And it was not to my surprise that I saw people in these tribes in reservations and communities that are just as black as the tires on a car. So this is not by coincidence, because, brother, your people came here from Africa over 10,000 years ago. And they didn't come here seeking to take anything. They came here because they had heard the stories of a people on the other side of that large body of water, and they came to see. And then those were the Olmecs in Mexico. And then the people, the Phoenicians, came here 6,500 years ago. But others would want you to believe that they were white sailors. In fact, they were not. They were black ocean-going sea merchants from Africa. And tribes here on the East Coast became involved in international trade on the high seas with the Phoenicians. And then the people of Mali came. So when we were standing back in the forest watching them drop anchor off the coast of Virginia and unloading their cargo of these precious black people that were in chains, we knew who they were because they had been here before. They were our people. They had our blood. And this is why whenever they ran away from the plantations and the auction blocks and the slavers, they ran first back to the ocean thinking that there was a vessel to commandeer. There was no vessel. And even if they got a vessel, brother, they couldn't get back because in order to travel across large bodies of water, you navigate by the stars. Now, how would they know that if they were kept in the hold of the ship in the dark and couldn't see the movement of the stars? So they then turned and ran into the forest, and they ran into us. And we knew who they were because they were our relations and we took them in. So there's a lot of healing that has to go on. And as far as the Civil War is concerned, that was a massive form of genocide towards Africans and Indians. If you stop and think about it, they're fighting over something that don't even belong to them. They call it their land. It's not their land. So, you know, we need to get the facts straight. And we need to start looking at each other, like I said earlier, and start talking to each other. And understand, you got to research, you got to look into your history, the history of black people and the history of the American Indian and the history of others that came here in a good way. Then and only then can we begin to heal, and it's going to take a lot of healing. But everybody's got to bring their stuff to the table and talk about it and be honest about it.
That's right. That's right. We got to bring our stuff to the table. I understand, my brother. I understand. Celeste tells me a little bit about you. You're a social, spiritual activist, and I know I can sense the passion. And as Lisa was saying earlier, it is important to reveal the invisible truth, and that's what you do. So thank you. I appreciate you, my brother.
I honor you and the sister, too, and Celeste. I know her. Take care. Have a lovely day.
Yes.
Before you leave, this is Lisa. Thank you so much for your call. And can you say again that we can kind of feel the date with you? When is the gathering that you told us about, and where will it be taking place?
The 19th of July is on a Saturday from 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the evening, and we may go to 6.
Okay.
And it's going to be at Plymouth Congregational Church, which is in Washington, D.C., and if you hold on a half second, I just stepped out of my car, but I got it written down on the flyer, and I can tell you that. Okay. All right, y'all ready? Here we go.
Please,
Located at 5301 North Capitol Street, Northeast. It's right
North
on the corner of North Capitol and Missouri Avenue.
Okay.
Is there a website or a way for people to read more about it if they want to learn more about it?
The website will be up in about 3 days, and I will let my sister Celeste know about it so that she can inform you all. But Saturday, July 19th, 11 till 4, at Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ, 5301 North Capitol Street, Northeast.
Thank you. So do you know what the website address will be? Do you have any idea?
Not yet. We're waiting on GoDaddy to let us know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
You know how that goes.
You submit them, and then they choose for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you were going to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for calling in, and thank you for your good work, and I look forward to getting the website, staying in touch, and learning more. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Oh, I'm honored, sister. I'm honored, you know, and this, in the spirit of our sister Maya Angelou,
yes.
I have to say this, and still we rise, and still we rise. You know, in spite of everything that has been put before us to trip us and to keep us back, and still we rise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I love you all.
Love you too, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jay Winter Night Wolf. Jay Winter Night Wolf. Yes, yes, yes.
Woo!
What a show, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Were you going to say something? We've got another question there. If you open for that, we can jump into that real quick. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to honor the flow.
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps he would not have called in had we not had the comment and the question from before.
Say that again, Lisa. Explain what you mean. I get it.
Jay, Winter Night Wolf, may not have called in to say all that he just said were it not for the question that and the comment that came from before. So it speaks to, again, this place of belonging. All voices, all places at the table belong, and that one voice's truth about their relationship with history brings forth another image. And so, again, it's just a reminder of how much we need each other. It's a reminder of this balance of giving and receiving that's available in all circles. And I'm grateful to be able to bring that awareness out about the conversation right now. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And that is such a powerful highlight distinction. As you said it, I was like, yeah, everything belongs. Everything is connected. And so why do I have to focus on the past, triggered why we have to, and all the other conversation. And if we start to just gently, quietly within ourselves, honor what shows up on our path, we can be different rather than jumping to see if it's good or bad, judging it. Yeah, thank you for that, Lisa. Thank you.
Yes.
Ooh. All right. So let's get one more question in. I think we've got time to do that, yeah. Woo, wee.
Okay. Here we go. Ah, I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead.
Woo. Fullness, time is doing what time does. Okay, we have tried to legislate our issues, sue our issues away, or make somebody pay. Do you think the isms of racism, sexism, classism, etc., are representing some form of agreement with our ancestors that keep it alive?
Wow. Lisa?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the first thing that's the most true thing is to say, I don't know. The second thing is that the court, I appreciate the court references, you know, the legal, these attempts that are there, the energy that goes into the court legal system. What I have wondered about for quite a while now is because we're out of balance with natural orders of law, that we have then, out of the shadows, created this, you know, this, the Western court legal system.
Mm-hmm.
is an attempt. We're trying to delegate the invisible orders of law that are part of our humanity, that are part of nature's web. We're trying to delegate those to from the neck up court system, and it doesn't work.
Court, nope.
You know, it's a from the neck up system. It's disembodied, and so it's paramount that we come back to these nature's system of balance and order and justice that are there, that we come together. It's too much for one person that we come together in circles like this to look, to be with one another, to experientially remember in an embodied way, remember what the order, what these orders are, you know, between one generation and the next, how injustice is flowing. You know, we can't, there's no reconciliation that can happen in a court system, that we can't legislate in a court system what we haven't been able to really, truly, in an embodied way, recognize our souls. So, that's what comes to me with the question. We're part of where we're at is, you know, and the legal system has a place. Absolutely, it has a place because it is. It just exists, and so it has a place. But it is, in my perspective, it's out of place.
Yes, indeed. He has a place, but it's out of place until we get it back in space,
you know,
in place by being with it. Lisa,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the legal system, I mean, I think we've no idea how much we're missing this reconciliation of order and belonging with our ancestors. So what happens if we just try on the, if we try on the idea, the legal system is not our ancestors. You know, there's a way that out of our confusion and inheritance of trauma, that there's some misguided way we're looking to that system for ancestral support.
Show getting hot at the end of this, towards the end, getting hotter and hotter. Lisa, let people know how they can find you, anything else that you want them to know about you before we release the show, please.
Just my website, familyconstellationswest.com, and all blessings to everybody. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Ade. Thank you, Celeste.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, for how you weave it all together, for your intuition, your wisdom and insight. I love you so much. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Yep, you too. Back at bye.
Bye bye. Yes, yes, yes. We are one. Carly Jackson, you're getting ready to release the show. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. Whatever you're hiding, whatever you don't want to see about yourself, know that you're passing that on. So it's okay to be gentle and embrace you right now. We need each other. We are one. Carly Jackson, you can find her on Facebook. Join Ambassador tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Play Experience. Celeste on Sunday, 8 p.m. Celestial Show. And I'll be back on Monday. And make sure you join me for my new show on 12 Radio, 12radio.com. Soul food for your consciousness. Carly Jackson, we are one. Peace and blessings. We are one.
Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. There is no separation. We are one.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.